And as peace. Mr. Len Hammond would say, thank you.
It's a prayer, you know. I just want to thank you for taking me through the day. I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you for the roof over my head. I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you. Thank you for the wise foods that we meet. Thanks from the people without food to eat. Thanks for this heaven we come to know today. Thanks for the breath of life put in me. I just wanna thank you for taking me through the day. I wanna thank you, Lord. I wanna thank you, Lord. I wanna thank you for the roof over my head. I wanna thank you, Lord. I wanna thank you. No, thank you for the obstacles we'll overcome. Your blessings we're dressing. Want no more blood, no run. Forgive the best testing. Mother Earth can't take no more. Thanks for this breath of life put in me. I just wanna thank you.
Hearts and ears inflamed with fear. Some people still pretend not to care. People running here, people running there, people running everywhere. Everywhere there is growing dis-ease. How will we nourish beauty and tame the beast? Who will craft a letter for our feet? A child hands imprisoned by our silence. Everywhere the earth is on fire. Hearts and ears inflamed with fear. Some people still pretend not to care. People running here, people running there, people running everywhere. Everywhere there is growing dis-ease. How will we nourish beauty and tame the beast? Who will craft a letter for our feet? A child hands imprisoned by our silence. A machine with the rhythm of a heartbeat. How will we cultivate our senses to listen? How will we remember when we touch, we are touched? Walking barefoot, I kiss the earth. She caresses with treads of grass, moss and pebbles, a thousand years old.
Go out into the town looking for you. It's like a void. Go out and I search through a building or two. It's like a door. Why never know your name until you said it? Why never know your game until you
Everywhere the earth is on fire. Hearts and ears inflamed with fear. Some people still pretend not to care. People running here, people running there, people running everywhere. spell silence. A machine with the rhythm of a heartbeat. How will we cultivate our senses to listen? How will we remember when we touch, we are touched? Walking barefoot, I kiss the earth. She caresses with treads of grass, moss and pebbles, a thousand years old.
Go out into the town looking for you. It's like a fog. Go out and I cut through building a tomb. It's like a dog. Right, never know your name till you say it. Right, never know your game until you write it.
And good morning, CKLN listeners. It is the 7th day of February 2011. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening here on CKLN 88.1 FM, CKLN.fm online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Special thanks to the First Ladies of Reggae, Ital Roots Reggae, on just now for 4 hours. Hopefully you enjoyed that. And hopefully you realize, like many of us here, that this could be our last week on air. Saturday, February 12th is our last scheduled broadcast day, according to the CRTC. And so we are going to try and change their minds on that. Everybody get the word out. Go to ckln.fm to find out more details. You can sign the petition. Over 2,500 people have so far. You can write your MPs. You can write other prominent politicians or prominent people. And you can ask them to put in a good word on behalf of the of CKLN Radio. We haven't been on air for 25 years, and we'd love to stay on the air for you another 25. We just raised $55,000 from the people in Toronto, and so, their community, our community likes our community radio station. And, of course, there was a dissenting opinion by the Justice Madam Commissioner, actually, CRTC Commissioner Louise Poirier, who looked closely at the CKLN case and thought it was unusual and something she hadn't seen in recent history, a station being cracked down as hard as we were. So, won't get into too many more details for the obvious legal reasons, and I also have a show to get to, but definitely want to encourage you out there to do your best to save CKLN Radio here in Toronto, and an institution which serves the needs of the community like no other here in a major metropolitan city. So a little programming note there. I'm sorry for last Thursday's show, folks. The headphones that I was using were not working, and so I had trouble with the with my voice levels versus the music that was being played, and one of my fans cussed me out after the show, and I apologize for that. I know you folks like your Rude Awakening fix here. And what do we talk about here on this show on Rude Awakening? We do talk about the New World Order, and so hopefully you folks can hear me out there loud and clear over Chet Singh's album Recessionary Revolutionaries. Chet Singh from Dub Trinity fame. This is produced by Chet Singh, and it was you can find his work at myspace.com/Chet Singh, and it's a great album. He's a dub poet, trip-hop style revolutionary. I met him a few years ago on the scene, found this in my CKLN Rude Awakening mailbox and thought, oh, okay, neat. This guy does good stuff. I listened to it recently and am now playing it here on air. So shout-outs to Chet Singh, new album, Recessionary Revolutionaries. Go to myspace.com/Chet Singh for more. Because he's talking about the New World Order, like we're always talking about the New World Order when we're talking about the major forces behind historical development and the major forces behind poverty and iniquity. And for you folks out there who are listeners to the show, I would like to encourage you to do your own original primary source research, which you can easily do today. Sorry about that sticky CD player. Because you can go to places like chathamhouse.org.uk, and you can look at the history of Chatham House, which is the Royal Institute for International Affairs. I'll read you a little sample here. Chatham House is also known as the Royal Institute for International Affairs. It's based in the heart of London. As a measure of its importance in the world international relations, the name Chatham House, the building, is now commonly used to refer to the organization. The house has given its name to the famous Chatham House Rule, first established here in 1927 and revised twice since. The rule is used around the world to ensure free and open debate. And the Chatham House Rule basically means that you can't reveal any details of what happened at a meeting where they adopt the Chatham House Rule. Bilderberg Group meetings are like this, other top meetings of top globalists, and anybody can adopt the Chatham House Rule. So it basically means that nothing that is said in that meeting can be said outside, and therein lies the sort of heart of secrecy and the secrecy doctrine. And today, here in the 21st century, 11 years deep, a lot of this stuff is becoming more and more public, and so it's available on their own websites. It says here the background of the Chatham House. In 1919, British and American delegates to the Paris Peace Conference under the leadership of Lionel Curtis conceived the idea of an Anglo-American Institute of Foreign Affairs to study international problems with a view to preventing future wars. In the event, the British Institute of International Affairs was founded separately in London in July 1920 and received its Royal Charter in 1926 to become the Royal Institute of International Affairs. The American delegates developed the Council on Foreign Relations in New York as a sister institute. Both are now among the world's leading international affairs think tanks. So there you have it, folks. The top British and American politicians and leaders and business leaders got together in 1919 to start forming bodies that would prevent future wars. Because that's what it says right here on their own chathamhouse.org.uk website. And yet, if you look at the history of the 20th century, it's nothing but wars. World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, wars in Central America, wars in Africa, wars in Asia, the Falklands War. There's been nothing but wars throughout the 20th century, and you can see the Orwellian results of this type of endeavor that have taken place. And you can go to Rothschild.com as well. And this is the famous Rothschild banking dynasty here. Rothschild has been at the center of the world's financial markets for over 200 years. Today it provides global financial advisors, corporate banking, and private banking and trust services to governments, corporations, and individuals worldwide. It is organized globally so clients can obtain the advice and services they require whenever it suits them. Through 49 offices in 36 countries from the Americas through Europe to Australia, clients can access Rothschild ideas and expertise. It ranks among the world's largest privately owned banks. So you have it, folks. The Rothschilds say they've been at the center of the world's financial markets for over 200 years on their own website. Now, is this just braggadocious bragging, or is this actually true? Well, as far as we can tell, this is true. And to give you an idea of what these folks are up to, I'm going to take you to a clip from Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com talking about the planned takedown of our countries, which he saw a long time ago, being a long-term researcher into the New World Order, the central banking families who print money from nothing, circulated throughout the world and use it to buy up the world. And they gave us, they gambled. You know, keep in mind, a few years ago, we were malnourished. We didn't grow any taller than 5'3". They said, now we need a giant tax base, a productive population to build armies that can take over the world. And so they gave us education. They gave us knowledge. And it's important that we use that right now to stop them from taking it all back. So on that note, a clip from Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com from the 4th of February on the planned takedown of our countries, and then we'll get back to how to stop it.
Nations and United Nations, and of course, they're boast upon it about it in their own websites at the Council on Foreign Relations or Chatham House for their parent, the granddaddy, really, the Royal Institute of International Affairs. So you should go into these sites and really, if you want to know your histories, you'll find it in there. Mind you, it's like Orwell said, there's the inner party and outer party, and what they give for the outer party, that's you, what they make accessible to you, is the low-level stuff. The inner party, you got to have your special number to get in, etc., because that's where the secret stuff and the real agenda is taking place. But that's how it is. And when I first came to Canada, and I went down through the States as well, I was surprised, and I've mentioned this years ago on radio, how the buildings seem to be thrown up so quickly, and they're basically wooden houses with some kind of siding on, and now it's all plastic, of course, that crumbles in the sun, but it's supposed to be better, and that's how Sears sold it. However, you find that they were thrown up, and there were cables all over the rooftops and above the rooftops and just strung across, and often almost sweeping high trucks that would go past them. And I got the impression right off the bat, I said, this is so temporary. Everything is temporary here. It's not meant to be permanent. They didn't build everything of bricks. They didn't put slate roofs on that last for hundreds of years. They put on these silly little things from the byproducts of the petrochemical industry that disintegrate under the sun, and you have to replace them every few years. But everything was so temporary, and it was meant to be that way, of course, because these guys literally had it planned before you were born, before your parents or grandparents were born, just how long each area would last. They knew that they had to allow people to travel, to create economy, and they wanted commerce, and that's why they gave the car in the first place, first to the U.S., whereas in Britain it's heavily restricted.
Stop stepping in the rain, shackle and chain, again and again, machine in my brain. Stop stepping in the rain, shackle and chain, again and again, machine in my brain. What's the use of driving me insane? Here is your ticket, your shackle and chain. When we'll meet again, things will never be the same.
And we're back, folks. Again, that was a clip from Alan Watt, and he goes into more detail at his website, cuttingthroughthematrix.com. Sorry, the clip volume there is a bit low, so I thought I'd shut it off a little prematurely. But the bottom line is that this is all temporary construction. If you look at the way things were made, say, 1,000 years ago, a lot of times they were made a lot cooler. A lot of the clothing, the intricate weaves were done cooler. A lot of the furniture, the elegance was a lot cooler. The masonry in terms of the bricks and the mortar structure was a lot cooler. These days we've got a lot of drywall and a lot of wood and a lot of, you know, homes that aren't necessarily meant to last, and buildings that aren't necessarily meant to last the test of time. And we have to wonder why. And what we're seeing right now is we're seeing the deindustrialization of this part of the world. And all the things that they've given us, they are now taking back. And I'll give you an example here from the Globe and Mail, Canada's national newspaper here. Why not a metered internet? From Ian Marlowe, telecom reporter from the Globe and Mail. It says here, more than half of Canadians surveyed last summer thought their internet plans were unlimited, a veritable buffet of bandwidth, with all the high-definition video streaming and file transferring they could consume. How wrong they were. More than 90% of the country's plans are finite, with set limits and stinging charges for going over. The vast majority of people in that poll by Solutions Research Group had never even heard of the concept of paying for internet based on how much they used. Bizarrely, an obscure regulatory tweak made by the Canadian Radio, Television and Telecommunications Commission last year, which effectively kills the unlimited download plans offered by a handful of smaller providers, has awakened a nation's rage. And now the national discourse is dominated by how much Canadians should pay for internet service, down to how much each gigabyte of data should cost them. But consider the incredible week that just was. On Monday, growing consumer uproar over the regulator's move on internet pricing forced Industry Minister Tony Clement to announce he'll examine the matter. Then on Tuesday, the Prime Minister tweeted that he wanted a formal review of it. On Thursday, the CRTC's chairman was hauled out of a crucial set of hearings to appear before a committee of hostile MPs to discuss it. And on Friday, none other than celebrity blogger Perez Hilton chimed in on the state of Canada's internet with, quote, "Yikes." At the root of the circus this issue has become, though, is one simple question. Should Canadians' internet use, like hydro or water, be metered? And it talks about the average uploads and downloads of Canadians and whether or not it should be metered here in this Globe and Mail article. And I got to tell you, it's absolute nonsense. I used to work in the telecom industry years ago, and I know that there's tons and tons of unlit fiber out there, and at least, you know, back in the day, and that these are artificial shortages, like the peak oil artificial shortage. Peak oil basically means they found half the oil in the world that's ever to be found, and now we're using, you know, half or less than that left. Well, look, how can you tell when you found half if you don't know, you know, where it is? if you haven't found all of it, how can you tell you found half? So that makes no sense on its surface. And then, of course, there's many other admissions out there of plentiful oil resources. And on and on. But you can see this, folks, and you can also see that as they're taking away our stuff, you know, it will get us mad enough to rebel. And so, imagine if Canadians think that they're paying a little more for internet, you know, is something that they're willing to fight, you know, to stop. Imagine if they knew about the New World Order. You know, the huge plans out there. And that's also another reason why we've got to be sort of careful about how we approach this. I was just listening to the Corbett Report. You can go to the Corbett Report and host James Corbett's website at CorbettReport.com or TheCorbettReport.com. And he's talking about patriot mythology, and he's quoting Nietzsche. And he says, one of the best ways to refute an argument is to defend it poorly. And so the people that know about the New World Order out there, if you don't defend your position well, if you don't take it seriously, if you don't, you know, pass on concrete information, organize and collect your thoughts, and make a serious effort like you're actually fighting for your country, then in fact it will backfire in a nutshell, because people will look at the efforts you're putting into it, and they will look down on those. And I've seen all sides of this personally myself. Sometimes when I'm doing a really good job, you know, I can get a lot of love for it. And when I'm doing a crappy job, then I'm just bitching about something that's probably not that important because I'm not taking it that seriously. And so, but as part of this process, they're giving us a bunch of tools that make it more difficult for us to fight back, including the internet, which of course it's a double-edged sword. It can be used to help us. It can be used to hurt us. But there's something I saw recently called Tweet Psych. Tweet Psych. You can go to tweet and then psych .com and you just Google Tweet Psych. And what it is it is a way of adjudicating how well you use Twitter, and it gives you stats like, you know, you do this much more than other users, you do this much less than other users, you talk about, you know, money or sex or work or you're positive or you're critical, and it's this whole sort of mind job on the people out there who use Twitter as part of what I see as a push to globally standardize thought and culture. And so that's very, very dangerous. Even the revolts in Egypt, you know, good luck to all those people out there. I've spoken extensively about it on this show, especially last Monday, where I kind of foreshadowed the week that was to come in terms of the propping up of an American puppet like Mohammed El-Baradei as the next leader. And in terms of stoking the fears of Islamofascism on the right, while stoking the fires of revolution on the left. And yet, the only demand that's really public out of there is, we want Mubarak out, exiled. There's not much demand talking about the New World Order, the IMF, the international banksters, and so on and so forth in this Twitterverse, and especially in the way our media is framing it to us. And so it's important to get to real issues that we can deal with. Now, one of the things we got to do is we got to help out people out there. You can't just scare people. You got to help them out. And one of the best ways to help them out is to pass on health information. So from the Alex Jones Show, I want to play a clip with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, foremost advocate against the use of vaccines because she understands the risks. I saw her rip a hole in all 36 vaccines at the time that had been that were prescribed for children under the age of 6, one by one, in a brilliant DVD. I'm going to let her explain a bit of what she's up to lately from the Alex Jones Show.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Okay, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is our guest.
That long tongue liar.
And if you look at all the statistics, the numbers, the globalist hoax of vaccines is caving in. But they're rushing forward, trying to force us back under their control. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, of those points I ran over with this big launch today, that you have put out, the vaccinationcouncil.org, very exciting information. Of those points that that this sheet documents and links to larger reports on that everybody should read, what is most important?
I think what the most important thing is, Alex, is the fact that, number one, you cannot unvaccinate. So you may, illnesses come and go, like the flu, pertussis, whatever, illnesses come and go. But if you vaccinate and you have a reaction, you cannot unvaccinate. And health doesn't come through a needle. We know that. Illnesses come and go. Health does not come through a needle. And you can vaccinate and you can still get the disease. And each shot is really like Russian roulette. You never know when you're going to get the bullet to your head. And if pro-vaccine folks claim that reactions are one in a million, they're referring to the most serious reactions. They never mention the millions of reactions that cause problems that do not result into death. So I believe that there's thousands that have never vaccinated, but I think it's a rare parent who wishes that they would. And I think that all the information in here is so concise and that there are so many links. And if people want to go directly to the document, if they go to drtenpenny.com on the home page, there's a link to the document. There's a link to where you can sign up for your support of the document. And I think that we can get a lot of traction out of this, Alex, to get a huge number of healthcare workers to come out of the closet and stand up to say, I don't want to be vaccinated in order to get a job. I want a lot of parents to come forth and say, I don't want my kids vaccinated in order to go to a very expensive college education. We've got to be able to ensure that people have the right to say no.
Well, I totally agree. And of course, our IQs are dropping. When you talk about us having one of the most unhealthy populations in the world, no one can deny it. You've got Bayer Pharmaceutical caught for 10 years shipping out Factor VIII, knowing it had HIV and hepatitis. I mean, it's time for these groups to be held accountable and to stop getting away with it.
Absolutely. And accountability is the thing. I mean, they are so protected by the government, everybody from the top down. The pharmaceutical industries are protected, the doctors, the nurses at the public health department, everybody is protected. What other industry out there is like that? None.
Well, remember the two reports out of Canada, prestigious groups found that there was a doubling of your chances of getting the regular flu, a lowering of the overall immune system if you had the H1N1 shot. And I know that's a dovetail into why vaccinated children have far worse health outcomes than unvaccinated children. And then you link to all the numbers and facts. Encapsulate that key point for folks.
It's really important to understand that the vaccines, they do really lower your immune system and make you more susceptible. Like you just said, the reports came out that if you got the H1N1 vaccine, it increased your risk of having the flu. And if flu shots were so good for us, and if all these other vaccines were so good for us, why is it that the government has to pass laws in order to require us to have them? I mean, if it was so good for us and it made us so healthy, there wouldn't even be this controversy. But the government is not willing to put money on the line to do a vaccinated children versus unvaccinated children study to look at the health groups of that. And there's actually an organization in Europe that is actually doing an online poll of unvaccinated children. They've got 3,800 case reports so far in their database, and they're crunching the numbers and asking very simple questions like, if your child is unvaccinated by the age of 5, how many doses of antibiotics have they been on? How many times have they been to the hospital? Are they on any chronic long-term medications? Things that are very quantifiable that we can demonstrate that the health of unvaccinated children is much superior to the health of those children who are fully vaccinated.
Well, it's also important. This is mirrored at Natural News at drtenpenny.com. I'm going to mirror the report at infowars.com and prisonplanet.com. I'm going to have my webmaster's post the detailed report right there and also link back to you guys. It's important for everybody to not just have this information and then keep it for ourselves, you know, print it out, give it to people at gas stations, bring it to your pastor. If we, the people, get the word out, nothing can stop us. And Dr. Tenpenny, I know you do this tirelessly, with no pay for creating this free report. You spent a year making. You're a very successful doctor in your own right. And we just salute you for what you've done.
Thank you so much, Alex. I so appreciate it. So appreciate your support.
It isn't enough to be anti-New World Order in your mind. You've got to go out and wake others up. You've got to take action. You've got to put your awakening into action to awaken others and take action against the New World Order. And a lot of people never take action because they want to formulate a big plan, or they want their presentation to be perfect, or they have endless planning meetings locally and they never agree on what they're going to do. Just get it done, okay? Let me tell you, you just take the hill, ladies and gentlemen. You put one foot in front of the other and you commit that we're going to take down the New World Order. That's it. And as you take action, you'll get better and better. You'll become a better speaker. You'll become more authoritative. You'll learn more. You'll become more dynamic. Why don't you start with a one-page flyer with whatever simple message you want about the New World Order with websites on it and post those on telephone poles all over town. You'll reach thousands of people right there. Why don't you start an Access TV show? Why don't you call into talk radio every day? Not my show, but controlled left, controlled right, New World Order paradigm programs. We are the majority. Show it.
Mad at me, understandable, cannibal. Shoot an animal out of a cannon and have him catapult at an adult. Captain of a cult with an elite following to turn Halloween back to a trick-or-treat holiday. Have Michael Myers looking like a liar. Swipe his powers, replace his knife with flowers and a stack of flyers.
We're talking about Yemen, Algeria, Libya, Jordan, Syria, Morocco.
And we're back, folks.
Democracy to the test.
That's right. We're going to put democracy to the test. Hopefully you enjoyed that clip of Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and a few encouraging words from Mr. Alex Jones. Basically, we just have to get the word out there. It's pretty simple. I know I personally, I've got a whole bunch of ideas, a whole bunch of plans. I'd like you to get in touch with me. You can reach my website at whatyouwantabelieveein.com. You can give me a call at 647-855-4744 if you want to pitch in on this. I'm basically going to be looking to do this full-time this year, setting up a bank account, setting up some plans, the March in Ottawa, the Toronto 2012 project. It is 7 days until Valentine's Day. Going to release a press release suggesting that, you know, people out there say, you know what, I'll protect you. You want to turn your girlfriend on? Tell her you'll take care of her. You want to turn your boyfriend on? Tell him you want to take care of him. You know, and just give them that, give people that sense of comfort and continuity in an ever-changing world and in a world that's fast-paced and it's hard to understand. The world is getting more complex, but we are demanding things be simpler and simpler, and we, in fact, are being dumbed down by this whole program here of the New World Orders, who basically want to dumb down, dehumanize, rob, and murder us, and we are in the stages of that plan right now. As part of this process, they're trying to make us soft, and congratulations to the Green Bay Packers on winning the Super Bowl yesterday, but in this time, as the poet Juvenal said during the Roman Empire, we are in the age of bread and circuses. Give the people panem e circenses, I think in Latin, although poorly mispronounced even in Latin. The worse things get, the more some of us are going to try and escape into whatever it is: porn, video games, movies, fantasy, taking funky pictures of ourselves and posting them on Facebook. You know, whatever, you know. The bottom line is that for those of us who can kind of break out of that, we have to get more active publicly and set some good precedents wherever we live before the actions we take are illegal. So personally, March in Ottawa plan for Canada Day, definitely want to get people going for that. The Toronto 2012 project to find out what we want and reverse engineer how to get it. I personally would like to do this full time, just putting up posters, flyers, networking with people on this issue starting in March in about 3 weeks, if I can finagle it. So hopefully have more for you about that. You can see whatyouwantabelieveein.com, whatyouwanttobelieveein.com for more details, because I really do think that we want to believe that we can do something about these issues. You know, gas just hit $1.15, now dropped back down to $1.12. We're going to breathe a little sigh of relief, goes up to $1.15 again. We've seen it before, it's familiar, so we'll accept it, and then it'll cruise up to $1.20, and so on and so forth. Fundamentally, the system is being overturned, and we're seeing a lot of order out of chaos happening, including in the Middle East. So I'd like to take you to a clip of David Icke on the Alex Jones Show on Egypt and the Middle Eastern dominoes that are expected to fall. He's a fascinating, phenomenal speaker, motivating and talented. So ladies and gentlemen, David Icke from the Alex Jones Radio Show.
United Arab Emirates, Oman, Kuwait, all these are so-called royal dictatorships and tyrannies imposing upon the people. So should they go? Absolutely they should go. But we're back to, and as soon as possible, but we're back to shades of grey. The question is not just should they go, it's what is the agenda for making them go at this time? And, you know, there's a number of things that come from this. If they, as Kissinger has indicated here, they plan to create falling dominoes across the Middle East, first of all, creates massive upheaval. It creates what? Chaos. What is their technique? Order out of chaos. Now, on one level, this could be very dangerous for places like Israel, but it could also be incredibly beneficial to those that run Israel, and very, very beneficial to those behind this global agenda, because they want the Middle Eastern countries in a state of subordination, and chaos will create that. The other thing is that where does the most of the world's oil come from? It comes from the Middle East. You start whacking domino upheavals across the Middle East and the oil countries, not least the big one, Saudi Arabia, and what are you going to have, Alex? You're going to have an enormous oil crisis, which is going to, of course, knock on to crises and financial crises and industrial crises and living crises throughout global society, which is precisely what they want. Massive problems and upheavals and chaos for which they can offer the solutions of their centralized global fascist Orwellian dictatorship. So it's clear to me that this genuine reaction to this disgraceful, outrageous, evil attack on human society is being managed to bring about the next stage of the attack on human society.
Expanding on that, we know in the last year the IMF and World Bank have ordered all of these third world countries, not just the Middle East, North Africa, to cut through austerity the bread ration, which around half the population of Egypt is on, making $2 or less a day. And so they economically, through globalism, pull the levers, punch the buttons. Then they send in their man on a white horse, who the London Independent calls the savior, this El-Baradei. So it's completely transparent to those that study this and know it, and the globalists are even admitting it. But on a larger front, the Muslim Brotherhood in Jordan, they just reshuffled the government towards them. In Saudi Arabia, everywhere, the Saudis and others are freaking out, realizing the deal they made with the globalists is a deal with the devil, and they want the strategy of tension, the clash of civilizations. They want to get radical Muslims, like they got rid of Saddam and put radical Muslims in Iraq. This is the strategy to then build them up as the enemy and to blame them for the exploding oil prices that were already being triggered via dollar devaluation.
Yeah, that's it. And the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, this is, again, I keep coming back to this today, shades of gray, becoming streetwise. And just because something has a name on the door and appears to stand for something does not mean that at its core it does. I mean, crikey, you look at the classic Orwellian use of names for organizations to give the impression that it's the opposite of what it really is. I mean, for goodness sake, we're talking here about George Soros's Open Society Institute, which is the last thing the Open Society Institute actually wants. So when you look at things like Muslim Brotherhoods, and look at almost any organization that has democracy in it, and you're looking at an organization that wants to take democracy away, and just because it's called the Muslim Brotherhood does not mean that at its core it has even the best interests of Muslims at heart. You know, I was talking to people who've been involved professionally in politics and intelligence and all the rest of it. There's a lot of organizations in the Arab world that actually are fronts for Israel and the United States. Andreas von Bülow, I think you've talked to him yourself over the years, former German minister and an expert in intelligence, especially German intelligence in that whole area.
Andreas von Bülow.
I talked to him on the phone for a long time years ago. Not long after 9/11, and he was saying he knew for a fact that Abu Nidal, of course, the infamous Arab terrorist, was actually an asset of Mossad. That's how it works.
Yeah, he was the former head of German intelligence, yeah, and the former German defense minister. He talked about the white supremacists are run by the globalists. The radical Muslims are run by them. The radical black groups, the radical Hispanic groups, all of these groups are there so the government can play the part of the savior.
Yeah, and of course we know the classic stands out like the proverbial is Bin Laden, Osama Bin Laden. We know that he was a front man for the same group. So when we see these names that appear to represent Muslims or appear to represent this or that or the other, we have to just, again, streetwise, shades of grey, just take a step back and let's see if they really do that. And again, we come back to the classic line, really, by their actions shall they be judged. That's what we need to do, not by what they say, but what they do. Another interesting thing, Alex, you know, is that there is this whole deal about what's known as Greater Israel, which is the area that the Israel extremists claim is theirs, the real Israel. And it's interesting, when you look at the map of it, it includes, of course, Israel, Palestine that we see now, but it also includes a great chunk of Egypt going across to Cairo. It includes Jordan, includes Lebanon, includes Syria, includes Iraq, includes a great chunk of Saudi Arabia. Now, what we're looking at here, as you look at that map, are all the countries, or many of the countries, that are actually now in the possible line for this Israel effect.
In the still of the night, tears fall to the ground. He remembers when he danced with the wind. Rage, she would cry for the joy of the sun. Now she's standing still, waiting for the end.
Live as one, we got to live as one. Live as one, we got to live as one. Live as one, we got to live as one. Live as one, we got to live as one.
And we're back, folks. That's right, it's a clip of Alex Jones, or David Icke, on the Alex Jones Show from the 2nd of February, 2011. And we do have to live as one. We do have to figure out how we can live as a group wherever we live and affect political change. Now, there's two ways that are usually proposed. You know, one is the protest model, where we get out there and we yell and we scream, and then we go home and we hope something good happens. But the problem with that is that in times of crisis, when this does happen, what you have is you have people who are very frustrated but not especially knowledgeable about the system that they're frustrated about, and so they can be easily controlled in large settings like that by anyone with any influence. For example, in Egypt, the people there are undeniably against the repressive regime of Mubarak, but aren't necessarily going to be given a better regime to follow if they settle on things like, you know, well, we need someone who knows the international community well and who can work with the United States and work with the major power players in the world. And so we need someone like Al-Baradei because that's just a recipe for more globalization, as Webster Tarpley's talked about. He goes through the term oclocracy, Webster Griffin Tarpley at tarpley.net. Which is basically mob rule, and talks about how ineffective that can be. Look at the Tea Party in the United States. You know, they get knowledgeable to a certain degree, and then they get co-opted by the Republican Party in those big rallies there, and they get sold Sarah Palin as a savior, as opposed to a more fundamental overhaul of the system. And so that's what you're getting. And when it comes to this, the best way to beat it is the information war. As Alex Jones, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and hell, even Eminem said, you know, make a flyer. You know, that's a hell of a way to get your message out there. On that, I'm going to tell you a quote from Henry Kissinger from the end of the Alex Jones Show, talking about how this is the first act in Egypt in a play that we're going to see.
What you going to do with your paper money? What you going to do?
Out of Israel and the Arab countries.
And by the way, in 1878, he laid out World War One, who it would be between World War Two, and then finally World War Three. They would then destroy all the world religions out of the war and say we must have this new global one world government religion. I want you to get to that, but since you've mentioned it so much, and I've mentioned it, here's Henry Kissinger on Bloomberg saying this is only the first scene, the first act of a drama that is to be played out. Here is Henry Kissinger, top globalist strategist, openly bragging.
Certainty and of a lot of maneuvering. Once the lid is off, right now everybody's focused on the removal of Mubarak. That is only the first scene of the first act of a drama that has to be played out.
The perfect moment.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do with your paper money? What you gonna do? Ice caps melting, polar bear drowning, oceans rising.
And what you gonna do? And we're back, folks. I disagree with Mr. Singh on the idea of global warming, I suppose, but most of his revolutionary sentiments I hear from the album Recessionary Revolutionaries I do agree with. And the idea that we do have to do something. You know, we have to do something. The first thing is to get more informed and to make sure everyone around you is informed as well. And Henry Kissinger talked about from the same clip with David Icke, talked about how this is the first stage in a plan. So what is this plan? Who would know this plan? Well, I'll tell you. There's an article from Richard Norton Taylor in The Guardian from April 9th, 2007, titled Revolutions, Flash Mobs, and Brain Chips, A Grim Vision of the Future. And it was a UK Department of Defense report, essentially for NATO, a report echoed in Canadian and American papers on what the Department of Defense expects for the next 30 years. So let's take you to what they thought about in 2007 and released in 2007 and what we're seeing today, some 4 years later. Information chips implanted in the brain, electromagnetic pulse weapons. The middle class is becoming revolutionary, taking on the role of Marxist proletariat. The population of countries in the Middle East increasing by 132% while Europe's drops as fertility falls. Quote, flash mobs, groups rapidly mobilized by criminal gangs or terrorist groups. This is the world in 30 years' time, envisaged by a Ministry of Defense team responsible for painting a picture of the, quote, future strategic context, unquote, likely to face Britain's armed forces. It includes, quote, analysis of the key risks and shocks. Rear Admiral Chris Perry, head of MOD's Development Concepts and Doctrine Center, which drew up the report, describes the assessments as, quote, probability-based rather than predictive. So they really think this is going to happen, and they put out a 90-page report saying this. The report goes into new weapons, technology, Marxism, pressures leading to social unrest, population and resource shortages, the Middle East rising Islamic militancy, the role of Iran, terrorism, and climate change. And again, that was from the MOD and from the UK's Guardian newspaper, the New York Times of Europe, back in April of 2007. So we're witnessing that right now. The riots and revolts in Egypt going on right now are likely planned and engineered by the globalists, and they want a domino effect to cause crisis in the Middle East, to put up some wacky, crazy, Islamo-fascist regimes, to have them maybe blow up a nuke somewhere, and then to launch World War III. So that's what we are in the midst of right now. Another article from October 17, 2009, from Alan Woods of the Toronto Star. Canada's military peers into the future, and it's scary. In the worst-case scenarios, oil prices quadruple, drones patrol the skies, and global wars spill into cities. It says the war between India and Pakistan spills over into Toronto's immigrant suburbs. A terrorist sleeper cell poisons Montreal's water system. Mandatory military service is enacted for young and new Canadians. While the armed forces constantly project scenarios for which to train, these hypothetical situations are rarely publicized, although they appear to be far-fetched. The military is obliged to prepare for the worst or risk being unready in the event of a catastrophe. This is a 10-year forecast completed for the Air Force. It lays out the likely trends in areas such as oil prices and aviation technologies, but also a series of, quote, strategic shocks, unpredictable events that could throw the best-laid plans off course, including oil prices doubling or tripling by 2019, unmanned attack aircraft police in the skies, and the Arctic being a war zone. And we've seen books and chapters over the last year or two on that phenomena. And one of the reasons that Stephen Harper, our prime minister, is buying several billion dollars worth of fighter jets is to fight in World War III, which we got to try and stop. Just a few notes for you around the world. The best thing to do, I think, again, is to get information out in the InfoWars, share some DVDs, put up some posters, pass on some flyers. Alex Jones' V for Victory campaign has a number of new entries. It's doing very, very well south of the border, and it's being echoed in some circles here. We can do it. It's starting to get a little warmer here as we head into mid-February, so it's certainly possible for us to get more active on these fronts. It says here, debit cards to replace welfare checks, from the Toronto Star, moving towards the cashless society. Ontario to launch $1 million blitz to explain soaring energy costs. So again, the government is literally telling us they're going to spend $1 million on propaganda to get us to live with energy, from thestar.com. And you can see here in 2011, as we head towards 2012, that we are in a period of crises. But these crises we don't think about too much. We're sort of updating updated on them, and we update each other on them. So we got to do more thinking about things that are tangible, things like vaccines that we can deal with, and we can make sure nobody gets vaccinated, or fluoride that we can get out of our water supply, like they're trying to do in Calgary right now. Just simple stuff that we can pass on, because as long as it's not just your cause, as long as you're not just doing for you, as long as you're doing for somebody else, then hopefully they respect that. Before the People's DJ, Mr. David James takes you on a four-hour jazz experience you will not forget. Going to shout out a couple of websites. First of all, CKLN.fm. Get active in the fight to save CKLN Radio. It is your community radio station, the only one here in downtown Toronto. So go to CKLN.fm for more details. We're going to try and get a stay. We're going to try and get public support. The more help we get, the better. So go to CKLN.fm for details on how you can do that. You can check out Infowars.com for news on the New World Order situation, including the latest on rolling blackouts going through Texas. Amazing. But in the drive to deindustrialize the West, there are measures being taken that will cripple our ability to use energy the way we used to use. That's how you lower people's living standards, folks. And this while they're still raising the price of housing. So you'll be paying $500,000 for your house, but you won't have any money to buy food or energy. And that's the plan to get us all in debt and to enslave us that way. So we got to deal with that. Go to Infowars.com for a variety of articles about the New World Order. Naturalnews.com and Mercola, MERCOLA.com are great websites to pass on for health information. Many more out there as well, so do look for them. VigilantCitizen.com for excellent articles on pop culture and how our pop culture industry is controlled to basically brainwash us to make it more easier for us to accept this. When I saw thousands and thousands of people sitting outside the Super Bowl venue yesterday watching big screen TVs, you just got the sense that, wow, you're out there shivering in the cold. You just want to be with other people. Let's try and find some ways to unify around positive things that we can do to help improve our health, wealth, relationships, and futures wherever we live in the information war, and then using that to apply pressure to our politicians once we're all sufficiently informed and can agree on things to pressure them about. You can also go to VRAN.org for legal vaccine exemption forms here in Canada. They're free. Get them notarized for $25 or $50, and then make sure your kid doesn't get shot and they won't have to get shot to go to school, and so on and so forth. FluorideAlert.org for the latest battles on fluoride happening worldwide. Wherever they find out what it is and what it's made of and what it's for and what it does to us, they always manage to get it out. So we can certainly do the same. And as I struggle with the CD player, and on, several good websites out there. Locally, you can go to press4truth.ca, pressfortruth.ca. Their film, United We Fall, is screening at a film festival in Wisconsin right now, so wish them luck on that. Again, pressfortruth.ca. You can go to TorontoTruthSeekers.com to network with like-minded individuals on these issues. ConspiracyCulture.com, book and DVD store. At Queen and Roncesvalles to pick up some information. Check out the Toronto Street newspaper out there, sold by the homeless, and for a toonie or so, you can get great information courtesy of Mr. Victor Fletcher on these issues. And you go to TorontoG20Exposed.com for Derek Soberall's great work with a film about the recent G20 martial law situation. We are in a post-G20 martial law world. Let's figure out how we deal with that. Let's make sure we realize what the state will do to suppress us and what we should do in the meantime to get the word out so they don't. And you can finally go to whatyouwantabelievein.com, which is my website out there. I've got several plans up there, and I've got some posters and flyer templates that you can use to design your own and to pass on. Another great website, nauresistance.org. Recent articles about the merging of Canadian and American border security policies and security policies in general from Harper and Obama. So definitely have to realize the threats to our sovereignty out there and to deal with them. But enough me, folks. Hopefully you enjoyed this Monday, February 7th, 2011 show. And hopefully you folks out there realize that if we look at each other and think that our voices mean something, our creativity, our ability to express our feelings about what's going on, if we can find ways to make that mean something, we'll feel more valued and people will respect the effort. At least it's been my opinion and the opinion of everyone who's tried. So get out there and get active in the info war, folks. That's my advice to you. Peace out.
Running everywhere there is growing disease. How will we nourish beauty and taste? stiletto for our feet. A child hands imprisoned by all silence. A machine with the rhythm of a heartbeat. How will we cultivate our senses to listen? How will we remember when we touch, we are touched? Walking barefoot, I kiss the earth. She caresses with treads of grass, moss and pebbles, a thousand years old.
I go out into the town looking for you. It's like a frog. I go out and I step through a building or two. It's like a dog. Why never know your name until you said it? Why never know your game until you read it, read it, read it, read it? Why into the town looking for you? It's like a fog. And I touch through a building or two. It's like a dog. I never knew your name until you said it. I never knew your game until you read it.
A child's hand imprisoned by her silence. A machine with the rhythm of a heartbeat. How will we cultivate our senses to